I hope you've had as enjoyable a day as we have. Had flowers for Mom, for Patty's parents, and we'd been watching for a good time to do that. And Mother's Day was a very good time. We enjoyed watching the people there. I especially noticed this long-haired country boy in an old beat-up pickup truck, hair down about here, looked rough as a cob. But he gets out of his truck, and he's got one red rose. And he goes over about three or four gravestones. He gets down there in front of that stone. Now, notice there's already flowers there, but he comes and he puts his flower there. And he gets back and he looks at it, and he takes his camera out, his phone out, and he takes a picture of it. And Mama said, Patty said, looking at him, says, "I bet he caused her a lot of trouble." But there he was. It was Mother's Day, and his heart was still tender toward his mother. And I saw a lot of the things like that that just really touched us. Some of the folks that had a blanket and little children, and they'd spread it out there by a gravestone, and they were having a picnic. And I thought how that would make her smile to think about her grandchildren and whatever, having a picnic there on a blanket at her graveside. Other folks, I saw another lady, she'd brought a chair, and a nice comfortable folding chair, and she was sitting down there and just very relaxed. And I thought, you know, people have many different ways to remember and to appreciate. And I just thought those were beautiful. They handed us a thing as we went into the cemetery, and come to find out they're trying to sell us grave lots. And first I thought they were really being nice, but they had this poem, and I thought it was a very good poem, and I wanted to share it with you tonight. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It's made of deep devotion and sacrifice and pain. It's endless and it's selfless, enduring come what may. For nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking. It never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns. And it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation. It still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many splendor miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender, loving hand. Isn't that beautiful? I just think that's beautiful. Listen to your wife. Here it is right in the Bible. Look at that. Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. And God said to Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad, because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed will be called." All right, guys, we got to admit it. Once it's in the Bible, right? Once it's in the Bible. Once. Your wife might have a good idea once. No, she has good idea. You don't like this sermon near as much as you thought you would, did you, Marcia? I'm going to have everybody hate me when this is over. No, I do want to say women are not always right, but they can be right. Dr. Gary Smalley one of the very well-known psychologists, counselors, authors of books relating to family and marriage and things like that, said God has built in your wife a marriage manual. And anytime you want to know what needs to happen between the two of you to move your relationship one step closer, she has the answer. There's a lot of truth in that. We'll talk a lot more about this kind of thing next week as we start talking about how God created the family. Because we'll find there's a good bit of difference between the boys and the girls. They don't look at things the way we do, guys. And I got to be real careful I don't get off in that sermon, because I want to talk about that next Sunday. But she will not look at things the way you do. As one fellow said, the day I got married, I instantly lost any judgment in what looked good on me or what I should buy to wear or what I came totally retarded on that point. She has all the right answers for all that kind of thing. And like I've told you guys before, my advice is, as long as it don't cost much money, do what she wants. It'll come out better that way. It just works easier. And she will have some good ideas from time to time. Now, Zig Ziglar introduced a concept that I like. He calls it stinking thinking. We all can be guilty of stinking thinking. We all are guilty of stinking thinking. Now, this time, Sarah had it right. But I want you to back up with me, and let's start in chapter 19 for a minute, and we're going to find out who caused this mess with Hagar and Ishmael and all the struggle and between the Muslims and the Jews even yet today, and everybody else that's not Muslims. Chapter 16, Genesis. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." This was a custom in that day, by the way. If a rich lady couldn't have children, she would have children by a servant and call them her child. That was done. Sometimes we'll hear about surrogate parenting today. And so that's her idea. She wants children. God's promised Abraham that in him all nations of the earth will be blessed, and his descendants, just in chapter 15, one chapter earlier, he says they're going to be like the stars of the heaven, the sands of the sea. You can't count them. Only one problem. No kids. 90 years old, no kids. Don't look good. Sarah's desperate. So she has this idea. Here, I give you my handmaiden. Now, I know you notice what she does. She says, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah when he shouldn't. When he shouldn't. Now, I added that in there, but I want you to notice he heeded the voice of Sarah. And that doesn't turn out real good. Then Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes, and Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong is upon you." That's another way of saying it's all your fault. "My wrong is upon you. I gave my handmaid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between you and me. He did what she said, and she's still mad. All right. So Abraham said to Sarai, Abram, they both haven't got their final names, Abram and Sarah, Sarai. Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. And she does leave, but the angel of the Lord speaks to her and tells her, you need to submit to your mistress, and you need to go back, because I'm going to bless your child, and he's going to have a great number of descendants as well. And she goes back. And so now that went on. Chapter 18, you remember what happens in chapter 18? The Lord comes to see Abram. There are three men standing at his tent door, and one of them turns out to be the Lord, and he tells them about this time next year, let's start a little earlier than that. Start in verse 9. Then they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And so he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. Sarah, when you turn two pages, it doesn't work. Was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed through the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, and my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? So, sure enough, chapter 19, the child is born. And now we have this situation develop by chapter 21, that the stress has come between Hagar and Sarah and between Isaac and Ishmael to such a place that in chapter 21 it says, and then the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abram a son in his old age, after a set time which the Lord had spoken to him. And Sarah called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac, which means laughter. And so on, the passage goes on. And a little later on, Isaac is teasing, Ishmael's teasing Isaac. He's older, probably about 12 years older. And this angers Sarah, and that's when she says, I want you to cast that woman out. And that's where the Lord says to Abraham, and this pleased Abraham. And so that's when this comes up, and the Lord says, no, you listen to her this time. So sometimes wives should be listened to. And let me say, they need to always be listened to. We'll talk about this next week. God made your wife to need to talk. You don't need to talk, guys, near as much as your wife does. She needs to talk. She needs to talk to get her feelings out. And you need to listen. I recommend that guys do three things every day to keep the little woman happy. Number one, she needs a live flower dying in her presence at the altar of her beauty at all times. If you can't pick it out of the neighbor's yard, you have to stop at the florist. Just get her a $2.50 wilting flower, okay? She likes that. It's cheap. It'll save extra charges on the Visa card. You need to do that. Number one. Number two, Every week you need to, I'm sorry to back up, every day you need to hug her and kiss her and tell her you love her. Four times in a day to keep the marriage going. Eight times in a day if it's having trouble. 12 times a day if it's in the emergency room. Okay? And when you come home, she has been missing you all day. She's been thinking about you all day. And she just knows you've been thinking about her all day long. We'll talk about the difference between the boys and the girls, about the pigeonholes and the dresser drawer. Your mind's a pigeonhole. You can put stuff in all these pigeonhole places. So she's got the dresser drawer. Everything's in there and it's all stirred up together. And that's just the way she is. I'm sorry, that's the way God made her. I didn't have anything to do with it. And she needs you to listen to her. Now, don't take too seriously what she says. Some of it will sound like she's attacking you. Just listen. Now, let me show you how you have to listen. If you listen to your wife, you want to sit down, put the paper down, don't stop petting the dog, stop watching TV, but I want you to sit there like this. I want you to lean forward a little bit. I want you to furrow your brow, and I want you to listen to her. Nod your head like this at the right times, like this when you do. Cry when she cries. Dr. Paul Faulkner said, God has condemned every woman to a certain amount of misery. And all you can do is sit there on the bed beside her, rub her on the back and go, oh, with her, and she'll feel better. She just made different than us. And she needs, we'll talk about this a lot more. Your desire is to your husband. She desires some time with you, and you give her 15 minutes and then get up and go do what you want to. All right. She'll feel a lot better about it. And you'll get along a lot better. Don't worry about doing everything she said she wanted you to do. Just listen to her, okay? Okay. All right. So, stinking thinking. Sarah was doing stinking thinking. Now, guy, your job is to figure out when it's stinking thinking and when it's clear thinking, okay? She'll have both. Adam did the wrong thing when he listened to his wife, didn't he? We're in all this mess because you listen to your wife. You hearken to Eve. Eve got stinking thinking from the devil, and she passed it off to Adam, and the big dunce didn't know, but she hands him the fruit, she eats it. And we're all this mess because of it. So, women can have stinking. Now, men can have stinking thinking. Isaac and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca have twin boys. Remember that? Jacob and Esau. Jacob was shrewd, Esau was dumb. And so Jacob takes advantage of him, offends him to such a point, he said, I'm going to kill him. And scares Jacob's mama so bad that she sends him away back to her people. He goes over and meets this pretty little girl. Remember that? Rachel. And, she's beautiful. Now, she's got this ugly older sister named Leah. Remember that? And he likes that little girl so well. They had a deal. I tried to get my children to do this, but it wouldn't. I couldn't get anybody to go along. He says, the way you get my daughter is you work 7 years for me for nothing. I had three daughters. I tried to get that. I never could get that to work. But he did. And it says Jacob loved her. The 7 years was like a day. And oh, it's wedding time. You remember that? And that stinking father-in-law switched daughters on him. You remember that? And gave him the uglier one. And the lights were so low and the veil was so heavy, he didn't know it till morning. He gets pretty upset with his father-in-law. But he says, oh, wait a minute, I'll tell you what. You give me another 7 years, I'll give you the other one. Any man who tries to please the Oak Ridge boys told you about that, trying to love two women. It's like, see, I told you I could sing, Rick. It's like a ball and chain. Remember that? How's that work out? It don't work out for any good at all. Stinking thinking. You need to go back and see what God wants you to do. Now, One of the things you'll gain, gentlemen, if you will learn to sit down and listen to your wife, is you'll come to understand her a lot better. This is a serious matter. Let's go from Genesis to 1 Peter 3. This is a very serious matter. Do you know who you married? If in a Christian home, you married God's daughter. And my daddy-in-law always had a funny look on his face when he looked at me. I'd taken away, Patty says she was his piece. Like one fella said, I felt like I was given a Stradivarius violin to a gorilla when I gave away my daughter. I understood that man a lot more when I gave away mine. And if you ever see some of the wedding pictures where I performed all three of the weddings, but I don't have a very good look on my face. Well, anyway, 1 Peter 3 talks about our responsibility, guys. I mean, first, we'll be here a lot more in days to come, but for right now, I just want to look at the husband's role. It's found in verse 7 in 1 Peter 3. Husbands, likewise, that means since you've submitted your life to Jesus, I'll explain all that to you later. Since you've submitted yourself to the Lord, likewise, dwell with them, that's the wife, with understanding. Do you understand your wife? Most guys don't ever understand their wives. Most wives cannot be understood by guys. They just are wound up so much differently. But he says, you deal with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Now notice, he did not say she was weaker, but you honor her as weaker. That means you go around, you open that door for her, and you move that chair for her, and you otherwise treat her like she's retarded. You go around and you be that gentleman that you ought to be, and you treat her with that kind of respect, because otherwise your father-in-law is going to be very, very angry with you. Let's go look at what it says. As the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Do you want God to hear your prayers? Then you treat his daughter with great respect and great honor and great love. She is a special gift. We'll look at a lot of that stuff later on. Any man who finds a wife, finds a good thing. That's how the scriptures speak of her. She's a blessing from the Lord. So I'm going to have to listen to her, because she's going to blow up if I don't. And when I listen to her, James has some really good advice for you guys and for me. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wrong verse, 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You'll find you won't get near as many fights if you listen. It's when you start talking, you get in trouble. Just listen to her. Just listen to her. And then get back and think and try to sort it out. Which one of us has stinking thinking on this matter? And let God sort it out. What would God say? And you'll find a lot of times she'll have some insights you had not considered. Dave Ramsey says, anytime I get into a business deal, I run it by my wife. And says she has kind of a tuition about things. I found every time I go against her judgment, I lose. I get in trouble. If she don't like it, I better not try it. I had a, I was listening to a black minister, not of our faith, who, his wife had died, and he was preaching her funeral. And he told one time, he said, one time I got this crazy idea. I wanted to open a filling station. And she told me, you shouldn't do that. And he said, and I lost my shirt on that project. And the day I had to close the filling station down, I came home with my head kind of down and tail between my legs. But he said, that good woman, when I got home, she had a candlelight dinner prepared for us. And she never, ever, for the rest of our lives, brought up to me about that filling station. That's a good woman. That's a good woman. Patty has a saying for me. Whenever I go out to do anything, I usually get my blood on it. She has a saying for me, John, don't be stupid. Stupid and me get along real well. I kind of need her to keep me straight. We'll talk about that tomorrow, next Sunday. God says, it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a suitable helper. I need her help, and so do you. Guys, listen to your wife. Well, we're going to stop and have our talk back session here in just a minute. So you may want to talk about some things like this. You may want to argue with me. But I found that that's good advice. It works very well. When I stop listening, things don't go so good. Only about 10%, they say, of marriages are truly as happy as they could be. About 50% are silent marriages. They've reached a point. They're not going to break up, but they just almost are like two ships passing in the night. Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, life can be wonderful and it can get better every day if the two of us will understand that we are two sinners trying to please Jesus. I can't say, when she gets perfect, then I'll be perfect. I can't say that. No, I need to do right what God wants me to do, whether she does or not. Let her make up her own mind. And what's really good is when you can get in a contest to see who can be better to the other one than that one is. Try to outdo each other with love and kindness, favors, treats, opportunities. And it can just get better and better and better and better. We'll talk more about that a little later on. But the best place to let the Christian light show is right in your own home. Let the kids, let the neighbors, let everybody see what Christian marriage can really be. It's powerful. It's powerful. Well, is there any way we could help you tonight? Is there... The Lord's invitation is always open. As I look around the audience, I know nearly everyone. I don't know whether there's anyone here that would need to be baptized. I don't think so. May have a problem or something you'd like for us to pray about. If we can help you in any way, that's what this song is about. Won't you come while together we stand to sing?